There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and this is Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, my name is Sean. Next couple hours, we get to hang out. I'd love to talk with you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Works as a text or a phone call. Also, you can leave a talkback message by using the brand-new FM Talk 106.5 app. Just search for FM TALK 1065 over at the App Store if you're an Apple user, or Android folks like me, Google Play. Just look for FM TALK 1065. You can stream the station there, get our podcasts, our social media feeds, latest traffic maps out there, weather information, but also you'll see a microphone icon at the bottom of the screen. You can mash that and leave us a talkback message. So check that out. All right. Oh my gosh, so much to get into. Before I get into that, did you see they cast Edie Falco? Like from The Sopranos, as Hillary Clinton in this upcoming Clinton, is it a series or a movie? I'll maybe put this on the back burner since the world is burning. But I mean, Edie Falco as Hillary, come on, maybe it's a thing. It's gonna, and then we travel back in time to the beginning of The Sopranos. But Edie Falco, love me some Edie Falco, and As Hillary Clinton, get the makeup people a lot of work there on that one. It seems strange. All right. Just had to clear that. Oh, I had to clear the McDonald's story, too. If you see any of the headlines today that McDonald's is cutting the milkshakes, I said McDonald's is cutting the... I said McDonald's is cutting milkshakes. Okay, good. We have to have our milkshake music in the background. It's just in the UK, okay? So there's a headline out there, McDonald's runs out of milkshakes amid supply chain issues. This is in England, all right? So in England. So don't get, I got upset real quickly, look through the story. That headline's popping around. People are putting things on social media about it. No, it is just in the UK. American. Now, there's a good chance the McDonald's milkshake machine won't be working. It'll be down, and you won't be able to get a milkshake. But it's not because of supply chain issues right now. It's because of the milkshake machine. All right, so okay, those two things, Edie Falco and milkshakes, and then we can get to the show today. And coming up at 12:30, 12:35, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com joins us. Heck of a story out there, and it's all about, well, I've gotten text about this and calls. People are like, well, if it's so bad in the hospitals, why can't we see what's going on in the hospitals here? If they're, you know, all the beds are full and I can't, you know. And I think WKRG last week did get some cameras into a local hospital. But John wrote a story about this. It's the law. It's HIPAA is why you don't have the access in the hospital. So he'll join us at 12:35 to talk more about that. Also, in hour number two, we'll take you to Montgomery. Rally going on up there. We talked about it a little bit last week with Spike Cohen. The guy was the vice presidential, libertarian vice presidential candidate in the last cycle. He's up there challenging why it's so hard for third parties to get ballot information, voter information in Alabama. We'll talk about that with him in hour number two. Also, we'll get into soon Alex Jones calling Trump a DA about vaccines. We'll get to that. And a new story out of Australia that is going to it's going to scare you. It's going to scare you. And we'll get to that coming up. But first, FDA approval. Well, Jeff was talking vaccines. He and I were talking about that, about vaccine hesitancy. So I got this question. So FDA has now approved the Pfizer vaccine. OK, Okay, so that's, you know, heard the story yesterday, whatever. Here's what it says at FDA.gov. Today, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the first COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccine has been known as the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine and will now be marketed as, what is it? Comirnaty. Comirnaty. Sounds like it. Sounds like an area of Ireland, but Comirnaty, the prevention for the prevention of COVID-19 disease in individuals 16 years of age and older. Vaccine also continues to be available under emergency youth authorization, including for individuals 12 through 15. So 16 and up, it's got FDA approval. So I got so this brings up a lot of questions. First of all the you know, people would call in and say, well, you know, I'm not going to do it because it doesn't have FDA approval. Well, would you do it now? Will you take the Pfizer vaccine now that it has FDA approval? If you were somebody who had a, you know, your reason for not getting it in the past was, and I'm asking this not rhetorically, I'm really asking y'all this because I'm a person, like Jeff said, he's pointing out that I got that hesitancy of, you know, asking questions about it. Now that it has FDA approval, if that was your reason not to before, and there were a lot of people that called in and said, well, I'm not going to do it because it doesn't have the FDA approval. Will you get it now, or you find another excuse not to get the vaccine? I'm just asking. I mean, legitimately, answer it, not politically. Answer it like as a person. What do you think? Then the other part of this is, how will this FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine, which Comirnaty or whatever it is, how is this going to manifest itself in legal questions about vaccine mandates? This got me thinking this morning. As you talk about the federal rollout, I want to get into that, but businesses, you know, we get the, Etsy, all the different businesses, but in the trades, in the radio and television trades, we get it's like about every day we get an email, so-and-so big, you know, national radio group is mandating vaccines. Question was before, could you mandate this vaccine, therapeutic, whatever you want to call it, when it didn't have FDA approval? But now that it does, how is this going to manifest in legal questions about the vaccines? I mean, and then you look at things like Kaiser Family Foundation, which is good. They're really a good resource to look at through this. They do a lot of polling and question asking about the vaccines and different groups out there. I pull information for them all the time. So Kaiser Family Foundation survey from a couple weeks ago said 40% of their respondents in that said they'd quit their jobs if they were required to get vaccinated. 40% say if they were somewhere that required vaccination, they'd quit their jobs. Now, is that just people talking? And when it came down to get the vaccine or lose an income, would they live up to it? I don't know. I don't know what's in their hearts. But 40% said that they would quit their jobs if they're required to get vaccinated. How about you? But because now that it's a FDA approved, I think it does change the discussion. Right? From a legal perspective. Or some of those places say, well, if you don't get the vaccine, you have to get tested every day. Well, what is that going to cost a company? How long is a company going to go on with that if they're paying for it, that extra cost on there versus somebody just getting the vaccine? And then what about this? What if you did quit? I mean, these are the questions in my head. So with the FDA approval now, this changes this to the Pfizer. So let's say you quit your job because of required to get the vaccination. If you quit, you're usually not eligible for unemployment. But would there be a new world of lawsuits out there that say, because of the nature of this mandate, I had to quit? Would that put people back out of the workforce now? You know, federal workers are going to have it or get tested, right? You know, people talk a bunch about the military. I'll say this. The military, folks in the military, my friends, they've had vaccines and they get tested everything on them, right? Or before they go into different theaters, they have to get vaccines for this, that, or the other. So I will exempt for a little bit the military out of this and look at other federal workers in the mix. But they're going to be required. Well, they then quit and have some sort of lawsuit against the federal government. By the way, on the military side, I saw a stat. I don't know if it's changed. It was back in July. Tom and Cal, if you're listening, Jonathan, if you're listening, the rest of y'all, U.S. Marine Corps, least vaccinated of any division of the military. Actually, as a side note, I would add for my Marine friends, I heard a story, I can't verify that it's true, that the coronavirus was trying to get a vaccine against the Marine Corps, who they were scared about. But what about police officers? you talk to, you know, police departments. What it means, I know that talking to the sheriff last couple weeks ago, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, he said it was, they suggested but did not mandate that, but they had deputies out. So I would, and also, as we look at this FDA, I just think this changes the discussion a little bit. As we look at this FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine, so what does it mean in the court? What does it mean for employment? What also would it mean about denying care and services to the unvaccinated? I know that's a hot button, but I would say if you're going to be consistent, would you defend the right of a medical facility to, whether you agree with it or not, you could be in complete disagreement and think the whole thing, if you're somebody who thinks the whole thing's a sham, you can still think that. Do they have the right to deny treatment? And if they do, then my next question would be, wouldn't Obamacare kick in? Would not having the vaccine in our new world be a pre-existing condition? And couldn't you argue that you could not be denied under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare? You couldn't be denied treatment because it's not having this vaccine, it could be a pre-existing condition. So you could force, maybe through the law, maybe this is a new tangential on the aftermath of a decade or so of Obamacare. So as just some of the questions I'm looking at as this gets started, I'd love to talk to you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Tons of texts coming through. We'll get to some of those during the break. Maybe I'll grab a call here before I go to break. Larry is in Mobile. Larry, you said you would quit your job if you were required to have a vaccine, right?
Not only have I made that statement, my company is requiring this to be done by September 10th. And if not, then you're out of a position. All I will say is that I'm willing to lose a $70,000 a year job with great benefits because of my convictions on what's in this vaccination.
Wow.
Experimental injection. I will say this to everybody that may be considering this. Do not quit. Do not quit. Do not quit. Make them fire you with cause.
And
make them fire you with cause.
Have you talked to anybody about what would you be able to apply for unemployment?
I have filed for a religious exemption. I just firmly expect them to deny it. They give you both the option for both a medical or religious, but since it's a healthcare company, I can't really push the medical side because they're doctors and I'm not.
But I wonder how they're going to deal with that on a, you know, just the basic unemployment. So, I mean,
and that's why you don't quit. Make them fire you with cause. Do not quit your job. Make them fire you and don't sign anything that says I'm resigning voluntarily.
Larry, would you do me a favor if this goes down, you said September 10th?
Yes.
You call us.
I got 14 days.
Yeah.
My job that I love, love, love.
And I want you to call me back between them, but could you call me on September 10th or 11th there? Well, that'll be the weekend, that next week, and let me know how that played out. We'll go on with us and talk about it. It's pretty interesting.
I'd be more than happy to, Sean. Thank you.
All right, Larry, I appreciate your call. We'll grab some more here when we get back from the break. I'm going to probably run out of time on... There's 70 texts here. So I'll get to those, when we get back. Also, people are asking about municipal elections. Yeah, I put something on Twitter earlier. It took me 2.5 minutes today. Now, that was at E.R. Dixon. That was this morning. I don't know, probably after 7, because dropped the kid. It might be right at 8 o'clock, something like that. 2.5 minutes to vote in the municipal elections for my Mobile people. Remember, that's going on right now. But you got two people, two Scantrons to fill in. It shouldn't take you long. Go in there, show your ID. Go vote. How'd it look at your polling place today? It was a 2.5 minute fast. I mean, it takes longer to get a drink from the vending machine upstairs than it took to vote today.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, time-wise, it looks like that Alex Jones calls President Trump, former President Trump, a dumb arse. Has to go to hour number 2. All right, we'll go to the phone, but I got so many. Let me go speed through these texts here. All right, so Bob said, so if 40% said they would quit their job and 90% of the companies hypothetically require you to have a vaccine, will the government still pay unemployment to those individuals? Bob, that's what I'm wondering, what that means. Unnamed texter said, Democrats are strong. They have a perfect plan. Have the FDA approve a vaccine. Have people quit work because they know they know they won't take it. Put them all on government payroll and more control. Another unnamed texter, those people must not make a decent amount of income if they're willing to throw it all away for something that's proving to be helpful in fighting the virus. I haven't got it, but I would if it meant keeping my bread-winning career. Derek asking about the postal. I don't know. The postal, I have to check that. Imagine as a quasi, I don't know, Derek, quasi-government, I don't know. He also points out that aspartame is FDA approved, and somebody else talked about Zantac and all that, yeah, that these things that have FDA approval that end up showing up to be bad for you. I'm just asking the legal ramifications. Does it change that with that FDA approval? G-Man said, I'll start by saying I'm fully vaccinated, but I do not believe that the FDA approval means much anymore. Yeah, and he talks about Zantac and that. Chris has sent me a picture of a fish. That's cool. Then unnamed texter, once they get away with forcing the vaccine, what will stop them from enforcing any other thing just because it's federal approved? Glenn says, sure you will, Larry, about quitting your job. Dan and Daphne says, where's your work? I'll take his job. Unnamed texter, I had to work through all this craziness, so if I get made to quit, I will be fine with that. Sean says Larry is spot on. CB Carl, my man, says, thanks for bringing up the military vaccinations. When people argued with me about taking the shots, I pointed out all the crap they'd already jacked me up with. Listen, CB, you're like all my friends are like, yeah, we're deploying to so-and-so. I got to take this, that, and the other shot here. Let me go to quickly here, some phone calls. Trip is in, are you in Calvert? Is that what it says?
Yeah, Calvert. I'm heading north on Highway 43.
Good deal.
And I want to start by saying I'm not anti-vax or vax. You know, I fully agree. Your body, your choice. I've got both my Pfizers. My wife has actually gotten her third. But I'm just curious, if I were to have an accident today traveling on Highway 43 and I don't have on my seatbelt, are they going to refuse treatment at the hospital I go to, wherever, because I wasn't smart enough, I was stupid, and I wasn't wearing my seatbelt?
Yeah.
You know, I've thought about that. What if you show up at the doctor and you've got cirrhosis? Well, are you stupid? You kept drinking the whole time. You've ruined your liver. I show up and I've got a tobacco-related product. Are you stupid? Do you keep smoking the whole time? Don't you know the risk? And that, to me, I did my own research. I went Wall Street Journal articles. I went liberal. I went conservative. I went libertarian. I looked at the research out of Israel, and I took a gamble, I think. I don't know that this is 100%, and if you tell me the long-term effects of this vaccine, then if you would, go ahead and share with me the 2022 national champion so I can get a parlay in. So,
what about my question?
No, and it's my wife's on dialysis, so I took a educated guess the best that I could, and because of her, I did it. Now, did I wait as long as I could? Certainly. But I'm not going to call you stupid if you opt out of it, tell you how dumb you are. That's a personal decision. You weigh it. You do your own research. You come up with your own decision.
And what about my quick question there, Mike? Do you think that somebody could claim, if they were denied service by the private entity giving health care, they could claim pre-existing condition, right, and have Obamacare protections that they would have to be seen and paid for?
That is a very interesting, and that's why I love listening to your show. I like for somebody to make me think, and that was a great point to be brought up, that there it is. You know, this is a pre-existing condition, and you're not going to treat me. But, you know, I wasn't real happy with what came out of Mobile with a doctor this past weekend. We made the national news,
right.
And I go back to his Hippocratic Oath, you know, that you're going to turn down somebody that, you know, you didn't get the vaccine. And, you know, what if they had underlying health conditions and they were afraid of it? My wife, on dialysis, she got it first chance she could because we knew she was immune compromised.
Yep, and did the right thing for her. And, Tripp, I appreciate your call. I'm up against a news break. Please please call back and be safe up there on Highway 43. Hey, speaking of the hospitals, John Sharp joins us next and talks about why we don't have cameras inside hospitals showing you the patients.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, a note here as well as we talked about Mobile municipal elections. We'll talk about that a little bit with my friend John Sharp, who's going to join us in a second. If you go to FMTalk1065.com, and you know we've had the link for the 2021 municipal elections there. Well, the last couple of months with all the different interviews we've done and, you know, who's on the ballot. But also you can see sample ballot, more of those interviews. All that is on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. You know, you can check out three big things, top news stories of the day that Dan and Dalton bring to you every morning. Story number one, City of Mobile Election Day, and all the resources there for those interviews and the ballot and all that are in line. I will talk to John's holding on, but I'm going to take this call. And Ricky, I'm going to tell you before we get started, Ricky, because I want to get John's story on. I got a lot to do here. This is, you got a 2-minute window, which will cost you hundreds of dollars if you bought it the time. So you got a 2-minute window, Ricky. Go ahead.
All right. Number one, COVID-19 is a military plan that was designed 20 years ago, maybe longer, by Henry Kissinger and them. We have the evidence that SARS-2 was created by Fauci. Okay. And, the whole thing was as a plan by them to take down our country with a bioweapon that's in the kill shot, not the virus. The virus is nothing but them hijacking the flu season and covering their tracks with the false positives and all that fake stuff to take our country down. Dr. David E. Martin has the proof. He's been trying to get it to the courts for 15 to 20 years. Yeah. They're blocking him. The globalists are, this is not about a vaccine or a virus. This is about taking our country down, dividing our country. This is a military action by the globalists who bought off our politicians, our doctors, Big Pharma, and they're taking us down if we don't stand up. The vaccine will not stop you from getting COVID or whatever coronavirus, because it's just a normal flu season. It's just like regular vaccines that don't stop you from getting the flus.
Okay.
This is nothing but a bio weapon attack with a kill shot.
Started by Kissinger.
To take us all out. And I'm telling you, God showed me this 2 years ago.
And Kissinger started it, right?
With Kissinger and all the eugenics, all the scientists say you can't catch a virus. What people don't realize, COVID-19, you cannot catch a virus. It's impossible. The germ theory was turned on its head by the Rockefellers back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. That's how they created this whole monster. That's why every doctor you see got a serpent around the pole with two wings.
Yeah.
They worship that doctor.
Gotcha. That staff is the serpent god, like in Conan the Barbarian, which... the original code. All right. So there's your 2 minutes, Ricky. And by the way, Kissinger's 98 years old. How about that? All right. So there we go. Ricky kept it in. Well, I helped him keep it at 2 minutes. So now we say hello to my buddy John Sharp, AL.com. And of course, read his work. If you want to touch the real paper that like leaves print on your hands, you can do that too. But digital wise, it's AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This story, you know, when I read your story the other day, I said, man, we have got to get you on soon to talk about this, because this gets thrown out a lot where people will say, well, we hear that these hospitals locally and around the state and everywhere are packed with people, right? And I have people call in who work there and tell me that. And then somebody invariably will call in or text in right after. Well, they're lying. That's not true. I haven't seen there. I know Ricky in the past told us he had gone to all the hospitals and talked to all the patients. They told them that they regretted taking the vaccine, that they were dying. You know, we questioned whether he could have access to the hospitals, TV cameras having access to the hospital. What's the real story, man? What's this report you have out on AL.com? There's a crisis in Alabama hospitals. Here's why you can't see it.
Yeah, so just let's back up a little bit. A few weeks ago, there was a press conference involving all the presidents of the hospitals associated with infirmary health. And, you know, the comment repeatedly is that, you know, we're stretched to our limits. We're facing a crisis. These are strong words. They provided some statistics to back that up. And to their credit, they have been providing those statistics now regularly, whereas in the past we had not gotten those. So I think that, you know, they're providing the proof, the statistics. And, you know, you're going with what the officials are saying. But, you know, the question comes up, well, show us the crisis. You know, even the comment came during that particular press conference is that we don't feel like the world understands what is happening behind our walls at the hospitals. And I'm thinking, well, there's a reason why. And that reason why is almost, over 30 years of privacy law that's been in place. since the Clinton era, and that law is called HIPAA, and it largely, it keeps the cameras, basically, in a nutshell, out of the hospitals. You just can't, a news crew cannot barge into any medical facility and start broadcasting. That has been outlawed since at least 1996. You need patient consent in order to do that. And although HIPAA does not prevent the media from broadcasting inside the hospital's walls, but there are certain steps that you have to take and protocols, and each hospital handles handles its access differently than others. But yeah, you know, that's, you know, there's been this struggle for media operations, especially television media, the ones with the camera crews, from providing visuals that can actually show you this crisis that's going on inside our hospitals.
Yeah, I mean, you had written, too, that you can't, see if I get this right, but, like, if you got their faces and you did the old blur-out thing, right, that they blur out the face, but that still doesn't meet the HIPAA requirement.
Correct. Yeah, and there was a guidance that was provided back in May of 2020 through the Office for Civil Rights under the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And essentially that guidance said that, you know, it wasn't good enough. Healthcare providers cannot grant the media access to patients without first receiving, and this is a key, I think is key, is written or HIPAA authorization for each patient that they can be filmed or interviewed while they're in the hospital. The issue, unfortunately, for a lot of patients that have severe COVID symptoms is that they're not in any state to provide that particular authorization. And so it provides a difficult scenario, especially for hospitals. And the HIPAA law really does apply to the healthcare provider. It's not really necessarily a law, guiding the media per se. It's a law guiding our healthcare industry.
But by default, if they follow the law, they're not going to let you do it. They're not going to let you in there.
That's correct. That's correct. There's been some instances, and I went into that in this story as well, where an ABC TV series has come into hospitals elsewhere in the country without permission or with the hospital's permission, but not with the permission of the patients, and did some filming. And that leads to some serious damages. I believe there was one of them that was about $2.2 million in damages that was rendered to a hospital in New York for allowing the NY Med, an ABC TV series, to come in and do some filming without patient consent. So this can be a very expensive thing for your hospitals and for your healthcare providers. That's why, you know, they're very cautious. To their credit, in this area, I know a lot of PR departments with our hospitals, probably in the last 18-19 months now we've been in this pandemic, are not used to the amount of media requests, especially mm-hmm. when you see a COVID spike like we've seen the last month. For our hospitals in this area, they've done a good job, I think, in providing up to speed updates for the press in this area, exactly what's going on inside. Unfortunately, the images are, you know, it's kind of slow going. Public PR departments have, in some cases in this state, I interviewed the hospital system up in Tuscaloosa. They provided some of their coverage that they've done. They went in and got permission from patients and provided some images and video and sent that out to the media. So that's one particular aspect there, although, you know, television crews like to come in and get their own footage, obviously. Mm-hmm. In absence of that, having it provided from these PR departments have been helpful. Yeah. I believe up until last week, we hadn't really seen the crisis portrayed in any inside the hospital walls at all until I believe it was WKRG had a report last Thursday mm-hmm. inside the walls of Spring Hill Medical Center. And in that instance, they interviewed a gentleman who was recovering. He seemed to be fully aware of the situation, and I'm assuming they've got full permission from him to do the interview. So it was a very controlled situation, it seemed like, but you did get some images there about the crisis and a lot of interviews as well from some of the healthcare providers inside the hospital.
If you're just joining us, sir, talking to John Sharp from AL.com and talking about why you can't see inside the hospitals what's going on. I see this as a member of the media is one thing, but I'm a human being, a dad, I'm a son, I'm a husband. I wouldn't want, if I have a family member in the hospital going through that, the last thing I want, if they're not doing well, is somebody with a camera in there and in their face. That's my family member. So, you know, I'm you know, part of my job is this idea of we bring the news to people and get the information. But, you know, as just a, like a guy, I completely get it. I wouldn't want somebody in there.
Oh, of course. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. And the media is not in this area. I mean, this law has been in place for quite some time now. We're all used to HIPAA. We understand you need consent from certain individuals before you can just, you know, anybody who's been in the profession, media profession for any particular period of time is not just going to start shooting pictures and video of faces of people inside a hospital room. But, you know, hospitals have to be very careful. I mean, they can't just allow anybody to come in with a camera and start broadcasting. So that's, you know, that's very important for them because, like I said earlier, it can be a very expensive punishment if they if this goes into the court system. So, yeah, I mean, but the media is aware of the law. It's not that not like that we're not. But it does, you know, we are in an extreme situation. I mean, this is not something that the media or hospitals deal with often. Is when, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic in which, you know, quote, unquote, there's a crisis going on inside hospitals. I mean, I've heard the police come out during a school board meetings in Baldwin County last week from some healthcare officials as well, you know, stating that, you know, you just don't understand what's going on. Our workers are exhausted, and you know, we have to take their word for it because you know we don't have the images of just you know the you would think of the painstaking day to day situation that they're all facing, and so you know that is a you know that is an issue. You know, that you just don't get that image because, you know, you have to respect the privacy.
And I think stories like you did here are very important because in the social media rounds, one person will say, you know, well, y'all believe that's going on? Have you seen any video or anything from inside the hospital? And then somebody else will say, no, I haven't. And then the assumption is that's because, you know, there's nothing going on there. And I think it's important to point out, you know, these rules, even if people go, oh, yeah, that's right, HIPAA, they may not have thought about it, get caught up in what somebody else is saying and, you know, not slow down long enough to go, oh, yeah, there's a reason for that.
Right, exactly. There has been some distortion of the HIPAA laws, and this predates the pandemic. I mean, I've dealt with it over the years. Well, I can't tell you that because of HIPAA. And I'm mm-hmm. like, well, that's not exactly what HIPAA means. But, you know, we've had to deal with that in our industry for a long time. And I think there was some comments made not too long ago that, you know, the media can't even ask questions about somebody's health or the status of their, you know, of their situation. And that's not what HIPAA applies to. HIPAA simply applies to the healthcare industry, to the hospitals, and the type of information that can be released that needs and requires patient consent before your personal medical records are released or before you can be interviewed on the spot at the hospital for a particular story. So, you know, certainly HIPAA does a good job at protecting patient rights, and the federal government has backed that up in this pandemic as well. You know, they released that guidance back in May of 2020 that basically says, you know, you can't even go in and shoot video and black it out faces or distort faces in order to hide identities without first getting authorization. So it's a pretty restrictive law, and that is primarily the reason why you haven't seen a lot of coverage inside the hospitals during this pandemic.
Now, if an individual was there and like reached out to you or you know, said, "Hey, you know, it's Jane Smith. I'm in room 1065 at the hospital, and I give you consent to come in here and do that." Could you travel through the other area, not shooting video, you know, if you're doing and then go to that room and then turn the camera on? I mean, that's kind of seems like what that KRG thing did, right? It kept it specific to those rooms.
Well, they have probably permission. I don't want to speak for them because I didn't, you know, that's right. Not our story. But I would imagine they got permission to enter the hospital with bringing a camera crew inside. And to do that for the media, you have to go through departments, the public relations departments at most of these hospitals in order to first enter into the property and then and that permission is usually given by, you know, the executives of the hospital as well. So, I mean, I'm sure that all had needed approval before it occurred. But again, I don't want to speak on behalf of them because that was, you know, again, it wasn't our story. But, you know, just to walk in with a camera without, you know, the hospital officials being aware of the situation, I think would be problematic, especially going forward with coverage. You know, certainly, a hospital officials want to know if you're going to be doing a live broadcast inside their building, just like anybody, right. any other venue, I would imagine.
And before we wrap up, and folks can go check that out, of course, just go to AL.com and search for the story or search for John specifically. And we'll talk about how to find him on Twitter here in just a second. But, as we wrap today, municipal elections for Mobile, have you heard anything on turnout? I mean, I've gotten the responses from people on the text line here. It took me 2.5 minutes. Are you hearing anything one way or another?
I saw some lines early in the morning posted on social media, but it nothing. Yeah, I don't think anything unusual for municipal elections. As a matter of fact, I don't have any gauge on the excitement level on this. I mean, certainly you don't have an open mayor's seat, so you have an incumbent there. You have a couple open district council seats that might draw some turnout, some bump up, especially in District 1. I don't think they've had an open race there in quite some time. That's where Councilman Richardson's run. That's where he's represented for quite some time. So you might have a bump up in District 1. I think in District 6, again, Best Rich has been there for a long time, and they have an open race there. And, there's a highly competitive race in District 2, and you have an open seat in District 4. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's more competitive than it was 4 years ago, mm-hmm. so I imagine I would hope that the turnout's higher yep. than it was in 2017, but we'll see. I we'll see how it all shakes out later on today.
Yeah, and you and I will be talking about this when we're looking at it in the rearview mirror. So plan for that phone call from me. And remind folks, too, they want to reach out to you on social media. Where's the best place to go?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
All right. Very good. Check it out and check out this story. John, we'll be talking again soon. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back. Got calls and text hanging on. We'll get to you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, grab a quick call here and some text. So we'll be up against the end of the hour here in a second. And we're taking to Montgomery next hour to an event going on. Mike Cohen is going to join us. He talked to us last week. We'll visit with him some more coming up in just a few. And next up, is it that Jack Tillman, former sheriff? Jack Tillman, line two.
You got him.
Hey, Jack, what's going on?
Actually, it's the second time I call and talk to Jerry Coyle one time, but mm-hmm. I listen at you and I enjoy your show. You do a good job. I got two questions for you, and I'll let you answer them. I may have the answer. First of all, how many flu cases do we have last year? That's number one. And why do we not have hardly any? You got those two answers?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally, right? So I can only speak for myself. My family, they got flu last year. So I was worried it was COVID, and it turned out to be flu. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Very few flu cases. And right. It's mainly because people wore masks.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody in this community where I live, and I don't know of anybody that had the flu. There may have been a few cases, but mostly there was no flu.
Right. Well, because of the mask, right? In your theory,
that's right.
Right. So you think what are you? Where are you on the mask mandates? Do you think we should mandate those, or do you think should be a choice?
Yeah, everybody ought to wear a mask. Everybody ought to have a shot. Everybody ought to wear the mask.
Should you force? Should the power of government force people to do that, or is it just let people make their own choices?
That may be going a little too far. You know, I don't have an answer for that. I just know one thing: people care about their family. You know, you can have one little girl at a party, and somebody at the party can have it, and she'll bring it home, give it to the whole family. I know of about five families out here where I live that one little girl brought the virus home and give it to everybody in the family. So how can you not consider that? How can you look at that and not say, we need to have the shot or wear the mask, one of the two?
There we go, Jack. Appreciate your call. Thank you. By the way, too, saw a text here from a physician in West Mobile. HIPAA violations can be $11,000 per incident. Wow, they walk in there. That could get costly. A lot of Ricky text. We'll have a feature maybe on Saturday evenings where we read through the text from Ricky and then about Ricky. Phil says, I can't even read or watch local media as it's all fear porn or Chicken Little news. It's a messed up world. COVID is real, but I hate how they focus on one or two specific stories of someone unvaccinated who died, but you don't see any stories on the vaccinated folks dying of COVID. Does that seem strange and planned? Hell, two of my dad's best friends died of COVID, both vaccinated and not a peep, and I'm sure not the only ones. Both believe the vaccine would save them, and that is the issue as they are not being real about the effectiveness and the time frame, especially with older folks. You know, I appreciate the text, Phil. Once again, anecdotally, because that's what I can speak to. I don't, you know, try to, but I'll say, I don't know, because here's the problem. We don't have the Back to the Future DeLorean time machine to run scenarios different ways. But in that outbreak that hit my family in July, and remember, I've been telling you all about breakthrough cases. When this all finally comes to light, remember, that was talking about this in the week after Independence Day, because it hit our family. The family members that were vaccinated, they got it. Delta variant, they got it. They recovered, you know, more quickly than the family members that did not have the vaccination. Now, that's not science. That's just what happened in my extended family and my family under my roof. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I bet you we'll hear more about breakthrough cases going forward. All right, take it to Montgomery next hour. Be right back.